What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is September 3rd, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Ferris Fair. That is Mitch Ferris, who made his MLB debut for the Angels yesterday. He went 5 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. Got the win in 70 pitches. Why? Because once again, it is a soft tossing lefty with a changeup. I'm trying to call them a Boyer. That is a mix of Jamie Moyer and Matthew Boyd. Of this wave of guys who throw 90 miles per hour or so. And a changeup, and that's it from the left side. This is that. It's 90. It's a very blech fastball for Mitch Ferris. It is an 81-82 mile per hour gyro slider. That is whatever, and he didn't locate it well here. And a 77 to 78 mile per hour sloth ball is what I'm calling it. Yes, it's a changeup. And it's easily his best pitch. It has negative vert a lot, and it essentially has 17 inches of drop relative to the four seam, which is like 16 to 17. That's huge. That's a really good pitch, and there's a reason why everyone is a major leaguer. This is why Mitch Ferris got the call here. And this was against the Royals. It was in Kauffman, but still against the Royals. He's fine. I mean, he has to have good command if he's in the majors with that arsenal. And yes, against right-handers, changeups were down very consistently. Four-seamers were at the top third of the zone. Toyed with batters a little bit. That worked out well. The slider is very mediocre. I mean, it's a very much below-average slider. And he located in the middle, height-wise, so XYM lock. YM lock. Middle of YM lock. I just did both X and Y. It's stupid. It's not a good slider. So Mitch Ferris, do you want to take the chance against the Athletics in Los Angeles away from Sacramento next week? I don't. He was also just at 70 pitches, so even if he does stick around in this rotation, it might be 75, 80, might just be at 5 innings again. It's an AL-only stream. And even then, I'm like, I'm going to see if there are other options. Luis Severino returned from the IL, also was on a pitch count, 5 innings only, 61 pitches, but 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. And this was in St. Louis, so that's lovely to see. He does get the Red Sox in Sacramento next. Don't really love that, but he does get the Reds carpet and then PNC Park after. I think that's fine, because he's not, again, fully stretched out. I love the fact that he only went 30% fastballs, by the way. He had the sweeper over the plate against right-handers, and that was fine. And then cutters helped a lot against left-handers and also kept that sweeper down to left-handers. It was pretty good for Severino. But yeah, I don't really want to go after this with a limited pitch count next time in Sacramento against the Red Sox. Target him after. Max Fried, ace is going to ace against the Astros. Got the win, 7 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. 96.3 on the fastball is so good to see. He threw sinkers down away that were just off the plate, and the changeups back over, which worked really well. And then the cutter up inside to right-handers. Yeah, he's great right now. Just keep starting him. Miles Michaelis had a great start against the Athletics. Got the win, 6 innings, 1 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 0 strikeouts. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? Don't do this. You know better. I can't believe that he did well this one. I actually had a weird instinct because it is inside of St. Louis and against the Athletics away from their home minor league park. But yeah, I mean, come on. Kovacs is so kind. Carmen Miljanski against the Dodgers did not last very long. He threw 50 pitches, but 2 innings. 1 run, 2 hits, 1 walk, and just 1 strikeout. And Bubba Chandler came in after. 4 innings, 3 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, 3 Ks. Just 5 whiffs, 34% CSW in 65 pitches. That's a sub-10% swing strike rate overall. I don't feel like you need to hold on to Bubba Chandler. There's too much confusion about how he's going to be used. He's not fully stretched out. How long is he going to be piggybacking? It's just not enough for me to go after Bubba in his ceiling versus any other normal stream. Now, at some point, we likely will get Bubba, and if he were to take Miljanski's spot right now, it would be the Brewers, and then at the Nationals, and then hosting the Athletics, and then at Cincinnati. So, I wouldn't want to do it against the Brewers, he's not stretched out, and then at the Nationals, that's when I would jump in, if he were doing that. And it's not clear, we don't know, so I'm just not going to do it. Nabil Chrismat against the Rangers in Arizona. 6.1 innings of 200 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. That is better than expected. That at the same time, it is the very damaged Rangers. They are not looking good right now. And it might be tempting to go into San Francisco for the Giants. I wouldn't. I think that's only an NL-only format play. Only 3 strikeouts, 5 whiffs, 29% CSW. Yes, the changeup is good. I remember focusing on him when he did make that first start about that changeup. Hey, this could be a cool thing. That said, I don't think he's pushing the needle enough, and the floor is very low. Michael Lorenzen, speaking of which, 6 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. So he got the quality start and a loss against the Angels. 11 whiffs, 27% CSW, 95 pitches, and there it is, 95 pitches. He has that upside for a quality start. If that's what you're chasing, I really don't suggest doing it. He hasn't had a quality start for ages, and I kept saying, hey, he's a quality start guy. He could have those, and he hasn't until now, so I would be very careful about this. Nolan McLean, honestly, I want to give him aces gonna ace. You'll feel that way. He got the win against the Tigers in Detroit. 6 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 7 strikeouts. Just 8 whiffs, though. 33% CSW, 90 pitches. Now he goes into Cincinnati, hosts the Rangers and the Nationals, and then goes into Miami. That's beautiful. I mean, this looks like a league-winning pickup for you. You definitely should be holding on to McLean, and I don't care what you say. The Mets should just keep starting him, and until further notice, that's what they're going to do. Maybe limit him the last week to rest for a playoff run. That might be what happened. I think you're going to get a lot of clarity in the next 2 weeks to playoff situations, and teams are likely going to pull back on some of these guys down the stretch. And that might mean some guys like even like Tanner Bibee and Gavin Williams, where there's no reason to necessarily push in the last starts or so. You might not see Paul Skeens go in the last one. Things like that, where the last week of the season is just a complete shrug. So be careful trusting the last week. Jacob Latz against Arizona. Got a no decision. 5.1 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and just 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to buy my bread with this? But this was 71 pitches, and that's honestly not terrible from Latz. Now, his final 2 expected starts are Miami and Cleveland. I expect Latz to make those because they are pushing Latz into a situation of starting next year. That would be very, very interesting. He throws 95, has this changeup down as well that is very good, throws a 4-seamer upstairs with 17 inches of vert. It is an attack angle, though, or rather an arm angle that isn't too surprising, so it's not quite as good of a vert as you normally would think. But this is something to focus on for the end of the year against the Marlins and at Cleveland for Jacob Latz. Cade Cavalli came through against the Marlins in a lovely stream. 5 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks. Got the win. Very, very simple. And now he gets Miami again. And then he hosts the Pirates. We keep rolling with that. Please throw more than 23% curveballs. That is your best pitch, Cade Cavalli. Throw more of them. Tyler Wells came back from the IL. He didn't get Tommy John, but it was a UCL surgery, and this was a still ill against the Padres. So clearly a start to avoid, but he got the win. 5 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. Pretty dang impressive, huh? He has a steep attack angle. I mean, the steepest that you'll find of negative 0.2 height-adjusted VAA, and that 4-seamer, despite that angle and 92-93 mile per hour fastball velocity, he still returned 4 whiffs. Wow. His changeup was really good against lefties. His slider was down on the way to righties well. And now he gets the Pirates and then the Sly Sox and then the Rays in Camden. Maybe give it a shot on Wednesday and just see how long this lasts. Just throwing it out there. He's already at 85 pitches. He's throwing strikes. That could be okay. Logan Webb in Coors got the win. 5 innings of 200 runs. A lot of those from yesterday. 7 hits, though. 2 walks. It was a little frustrating with Webb. It's a 180 whip. You're getting a lot more of the PTSD of 2024 Webb. But it was 7 strikeouts and 16 whiffs for a Gallows pole. The sweeper was stellar to right-handers. It was against the Rockies lineup. And the changeup was glorious at the bottom of the zone. The sinker just leaked over the plate far too much. And that allowed too many hits for the Rockies right-handers, who were just so happy to see them. Oh, okay, here's a hittable fastball. Thank you so much. We keep starting him, but it is not the same Webb that you saw in the first half. I've said that many times, but yes, that is the case. Simeon Woods Richardson had a very surprising start, and I'm going to tell you about that and many others from yesterday after this break. Simeon Woods Richardson against the White Sox. 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 7 strikeouts, but just 8 whiffs. 85 pitches. He went 31% splitters, which returned 65% strikes. He even got 4 strikeouts on his four-seamer despite 3 whiffs on the pitch. It was wild. That splitter opened the door for those called strikes on the four-seamer. It's a weird one. I do not trust Simeon Woods Richardson. He always has these weird games. Don't do this. Jose Berríos in Cincinnati. Oh no, he's the great undulator. And we're trying to get to that 3.5 to 3.9 ERA and a sub 125 whip. And we're not there because it was 2 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 2 Ks, and 60 pitches. Oh my gosh, 66. Oh man. Yeah, he got pulled early because of that. There was an error in that second inning. And now he's at a 4.02 ERA with a 1.29 whip. And the rules of the great undulator suggest that the next few weeks should be in his favor, as he always finds a way to be in a 3.5 to 3.9 ERA and a sub 125 whip. But, I mean, that's just me being silly and whatnot, and baseball is weird. They can't always be a 3.47 batting average, right, Chris Davis? Like, it doesn't always work like that. Yeah, I'm not going to do it. You know that. I don't care for Jose Berríos. Even if like he settles down to be a 3.90 ERA and 1.25 whip, that's not good for your 12 teamers. Kyle Freeland should not be started, but he didn't go and record a single out. Yeah, so 0 innings of 200 runs and 2 hits, a hit and a 2-run shot by Rafael Devers. And he had some words for Devers, who didn't really pimp it out so much. And yeah, he got ejected because, come on, man, keep it together. Hitters should be able to celebrate. Pitchers celebrate so much, right? And unless the hitter does a gesture that is wrong or, you know, insults in some way from saying something to them or like being really obnoxious, yeah, let them celebrate. You know, if they're not targeting you, whatever. That's the game. Come on, Kyle, just be a better pitcher. I mean, I'm sorry that you pitch in Colorado. I get that anger. Okay, Shota Imanaga. Ace is going to ace a bit, but I mean, he got the win. He got a quality start. 6 innings, 300 runs against Atlanta. And 6 base runners, 5 hits, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts. Whatever. We just keep going. Davis Martin against the Twins got the win. 6 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. That was a very poor quality start. But if you ran with it into 15-teamer, you're probably okay because that's a Toby into 15-teamer. And that's pretty much what he does. You're happy with that win. Now, the cutter was fine against righties, but we got the majority of batters as left-handed, and he had to go four-seamer changeup, which just isn't as good. Hyper-reliance on the four-seamer for Davis Martin is not really what you want. You want to be more changeup cutter as much as possible. So it makes sense. And yeah, he is what he is. I don't really want to go for this in your 12-teamers. Drew Rasmussen against Seattle in Tampa Bay. Oh, he allowed 3 solo shots in the fourth. And that meant that he went 5 innings on 4 hits. 0 walks and 3 earned runs with 2 strikeouts. I mean, it's always so boring with Drew Rasmussen. 72 pitches. I feel like he could have gone 6. But so it goes. Tampa Bay is weird, and it was a very good offense there. Fine, we move on. Brian Wu on the other side. 5 innings, 300 runs. 4 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks. Again, it's a bad place to pitch. And also, his fastballs went 50% strikes, both sinker and four-seamer to right-handers, which is not something that we should expect moving forward. Yu Darvish against the Orioles. Okay, so I've been saying that Yu Darvish should figure things out. We got to keep trusting him. The schedule's so good. And he went 87 pitches with just 4 innings. 3 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. Come on! So here we are. If you have Yu Darvish, well, he gets the Reds carpet in Rocky Road. I mean, you have to do that. It's just, please, Darvish, this is it. Just these 2 starts, that's it. Adam Mazur against the Nationals, 6 innings, 4 runs, 10 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. You didn't start Mazur. And I will mention, Mazur's slider did well. 8 over 31 whiffs is pretty cool. He has a four-seamer that's at 95 with 18-plus inches of vert. Maybe that can turn into something over time, but there's no reason to chase that now. And 14 whiffs overall on 90 pitches, maybe it does suggest that there could be something in the future, but I'm not going to buy into that. Clayton Kershaw, you're supposed to come through here at Pittsburgh, and you didn't. You got bamboozled for 4 runs in the first without a home run. Koufax, you're supposed to be super friendly with him, but he did walk 4 batters total in 5 innings, 4 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks. So at the very least, after that first, he did go 4 shutout. Fine, but come on. You get Rocky Road next. Just throw more strikes. Okay, Koufax will help. Don't worry about it. Joey Wentz against the Cubs pitched better than the line suggests. Four innings of four and runs, seven hits, one walk, and eight strikeouts, 13 whiffs, 28% CSW, 96 pitches. He had a really tough third frame, and that's where all four runs came in, including a three-run shot from Kyle Tucker. He could have had a better feel for the curve. It was 46% strikes, but it's still generally right under the zone against right-handers, and the slider is still good. Yes, the slider, not the cutter, because it's been a slider the entire time. And I'm very happy that Savant is calling it the slider now. And that pitch is locating beautifully down and in while the four-seamer is going up for a Blake Snell blueprint. And yeah, I still like Joey Wentz later after these tough starts. He gets the Cubs now, and I believe it's the Cubs again or another bad start, but then it will be some good matchups. Those are the ones you want to circle for Joey Wentz. Scott Barlow pitched for the Reds. Wait, hold on. It was a bullpen game? Why? Oh, right. Nick Lodolo was supposed to go against the Jays, but he fell with an illness. Befelled with one. Yeah, he'll be fine. He'll start probably in his next start, and that will be that. Framber Valdez against the Yankees. Well, if you didn't watch the video of him getting upset as his catcher and throwing a 93-mile-per-hour fastball down the middle that he wasn't expecting, which it's just wrong. It really is. He allowed a grand slam to Grisham. And he was upset about it, and you can't do that, Valdez. Like, people have broken wrists before, throwing heaters when catchers are expecting off speed, and it's just, oh man, I hate it. Five innings, 600 runs, eight hits, one walk, and eight Ks, ultimately. Yeah, you start him against the Jays still. I mean, it was that one pitch that really messed him up, of course, but yeah, it's, come on, man. I'm just really upset at him. It's incredibly immature to do that. Sawyer Gibson Long against the Mets. Four innings, 600 runs, five hits, two walks, and three Ks. So this was not a start in any way. You know how excited I am about Sawyer Gibson Long, and I think he's going to be great in 2026. This was against the Mets. He went three innings in the last time he went. It was only 70 pitches here. We didn't expect him to go long. So forget about the line. The interesting thing here is that he's taking the place in the rotation of Chris Paddock. We didn't know that initially, and then before this, as I was doing the list live, it became clear that Chris Paddock was going to the bullpen. So don't go for the next one against the Yankees for Sawyer Gibson Long. He still needs to be stretched out a little bit, and of course, it's the Yankees. But the Marlins are after that on September 14th if everything goes to plan. Yeah, that's what I would be circling for Sawyer Gibson Long. Garrett Crochet got destroyed by the Guardians, but not through the first five innings. He allowed just one earned run then, but it was three home runs in the sixth inning with the solo shot prior. So he had a solo shot, a two-run shot, and a three-run shot allowed in that sixth frame. So he went six innings, 700 runs, nine hits, zero walks, and four Ks. My gosh, that is so cruel. Velocity was fine. Everything's just weird and stupid. What are you going to do? And Slay Cecchione, oh man, on the other side of that, because neither guy could get a win or a loss, 5.1 innings of 700 runs as well, 11 hits, 0 walks, and 8 strikeouts, 15 whiffs, 40% CSW for a King Cole? What? Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen the last guy, because I do it ordered of earned runs, the last guy not only earn a King Cole, but do so with a 40% CSW as the last one with 700 runs. It is bonkers. What happened here is that Slade threw a ton of strikes, 77% overall strike rate. So the Red Sox decided to just be patient, and then take their swings later on in counts. Sure, they chased a good amount, eight strikeouts, but they got also a lot of pitches to hit. A lot of these pitches from Slade were over the plate. They punished them. And now it's Kansas City away from Kauffman. I don't want to do that. Maybe the White Sox, but then it's at the Twins. I don't want to do that. And then hosting the Rangers. I just feel like you shouldn't be a part of the Slade Brigade. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting the podcast, leaving a rating, a review. I cannot express enough. Leaving that on the individual Plus Pitch podcast and on the main Pitcher List Fantasy Baseball podcast feed on iTunes and on Spotify goes so, so, so far for us. So please consider doing that if you're listening this far. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock. May your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.